why. Israel were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. Their exodus, as we saw a couple weeks ago in part one, their exodus did not happen overnight. It was a process. And our exoduses don't happen to us overnight either. You see, it is a process to go from sin to salvation, from salvation to transformation, from redemption to sanctification, from the pain or the past to a place of promise and prosperity. It is not a hop, skip, and a jump to get through the wilderness of waste. It's hard, it's intense, it's frightening, and it is the story of the Christian's walk. But the good news is we learned in part one, the principle we learned in part one is that God knows, amen? God knows what you're going through. Sometimes we don't feel like God knows where we're at, and we pray it doesn't seem to make it past the ceiling. But the principle of the first one is that God knows how you feel. God knows what you need. God hears our groanings and our sighs, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and brings those up to God as prayer. And as the people were praying, God was getting ready to do something about it. God knows where you are, and He knows what it's going to take to bring you to that place of promise, which is why often we have to go, in order to get to the promise, we've got to go through the wilderness. If we want to get to the promise, we're going to have to get to the wilderness. You can't skip the wilderness. You can't bypass the wilderness. You can't shortcut the wilderness. You can only go through the howling wilderness of waste. So today we're going to look at three things. Deuteronomy 32:10 gives us three things that we're going to learn today about Wilderness 101. God cares for you, God is teaching you, and you are of value. First, let's look at God cares. Exodus 3:1 tells us that Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So check this out, just one chapter earlier, Moses is a prince of Egypt. But because of one dumb decision, Moses' life has to take a 40-year detour. Friends, never underestimate the damage one dumb decision can do, amen? Never underestimate what one sin can do. One look, one lie, one kiss, one pill. Let me tell you, never underestimate. Because of this one dumb decision of losing his cool, Moses now has to go on a 40-year detour in the howling wilderness of waste. Howling wilderness of waste. The word wilderness here means several things. Wilderness, it means formless, without form, void. It's a word that means, interestingly, it not only means formless, it means confused. It means empty, void of life. Think about that, friends. That sounds a lot like 2020 to me. Nothing has happened as we planned it. Okay, nothing has turned out the way we expected. That 2020 calendar is still empty. That thing was a waste. 2020 has been some time in the howling wilderness of waste. That word wilderness means confused, empty, formless. You know that must have been how Moses felt while he was in his wilderness. He had the best education money could buy. He had the best influence while he was in Egypt. He had the best privileges while he was in Egypt. But now he's in the desert counting sheep. What a waste. You got pregnant, had to drop out of college. What a waste. You spent your life savings to send your child to treatment, but they're still using. What a waste. The marriage made it for 30 years only to end in divorce. What a waste. Worked at the same company for 50 years only to get let go. Took care of your health your whole life, and you still got sick. What a waste. Friends, the howling wilderness of waste is rough. But the good news is that with Christ, nothing, even bad things, are a waste. God is going to turn that waste into something that's worth all its weight in glory in your life. So check it out. That same word for wilderness in Deuteronomy 32:10. Remember, Moses wrote the first five books, or he is given the authorship of the first five books of the Bible. So he wrote Deuteronomy, and that means he also wrote Genesis 1:2. So the same word the Holy Spirit gives Moses for wilderness in Deuteronomy 32:10, the Holy Spirit has Moses use in Genesis 1:2. And that's what we're going to discover in this Exodus series, is that really the Exodus is a new Genesis. It's a rebirth. It's a new beginning for Israel. So notice, the wilderness in 32:10, Moses uses in Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form, it was void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. So it was empty, it was confused, it was chaotic, was the condition that the earth was in before God said, let there be light. And by the way, that is the condition of Moses' life right now in the wilderness of Midian. But what's really cool about our God is that when things are at their darkest, God's light shines the brightest. That it's often when things seem like they're at their most chaotic that God steps in and brings creation out of chaos. God's light shines, and just like in creation, the Holy Spirit starts fluttering, and the Father starts speaking, and Jesus starts creating. You see, God specializes in bringing creation out of chaos, in bringing order out of disorder, overflowing what used to have nothing. You see, God is about to say, let there be light on Moses' life. And in an instant, Moses goes from thinking he's alone to realizing that God is right there with him. Notice, Deuteronomy 32:10. And I know some of you are thinking Deuteronomy 32:10 is actually the story of Israel. It talks of Israel in the singular because to God, his Israel was his child. It was his son, daughter. But why I'm using Deuteronomy 32:10 to talk about Moses is that Moses' experience was Israel's experience. That what God was doing in Moses' life, God wanted to do in Israel's life. And so notice, it says Deuteronomy 32:10, he found him in a desert. You see, that's what I love about my shepherd, friends. He's not content with the 99 that are at church. He's not content with the 99 that are safe. No, God. See, when you go missing, God goes looking, even if there's only one missing. He goes looking. He's not content with the 99. He goes looking for the one. And so he found him. He went looking for him and found him in a desert land. And in the howling wilderness of waste, he encircled him. If you are in a howling wilderness of waste today, you need to know that God is encircling you. God is surrounding you. You may not feel him, but he is closer to you than your next breath. And that's what this word encircled means. It's an interesting word that means surrounded. Check it out. God has Moses surrounded. I love the psalmist, what he says here in 139 verses 4 through 5. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. Friends, only God can go before you and also follow you. Only God can be there with you at the beginning while simultaneously being at the end, waiting for you. You see, God's got you surrounded. Before you prayed it, you go before me, you place your hand of blessing on my head. Before you prayed it, God knew it. Before you said it, God heard it. Before you thought it, God discerned it. Before you get to the wilderness, God is already there waiting for you. Check it out. When the Samaritan woman gets to the well at a time when no one went to the well, Jesus is already waiting. Hallelujah. God encircles us in our howling wilderness of waste. When Nicodemus shows up in the middle of the night, Jesus is already there waiting. Before Peter gets to the shore, Jesus is already on the shore waiting for Peter. You see, Moses thought he was alone in his wilderness, but check it out. God was already there waiting. You see, you cannot outrun God. You can't hide from God. There is no place to go where God will not follow. He encircled him. He goes before him and he goes after him and he's there in between. He encircled him. God is encircling you right now. God cares for you. Interestingly, I found out that this word encircled also means to go in circles. It's a Hebrew word that can mean to go in circles. So check it out. Moses starts in Egypt and then goes to the wilderness. Then he goes back to Egypt and then he goes back to the wilderness. Moses' life is a series of circles. And you know what? As we follow Israel through the wilderness, so is theirs. Israel's story in the wilderness is a story of going in circles. Friends, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. If you keep going in circles, it's because you haven't yet learned the lesson that God is trying to teach you. Our life is a series of circles. God brings you to the place where his will is for your life. And if you go and step out in that will, you continue in that journey with him to that next stage. But if you don't, you better get ready for another lap in the howling wilderness of waste. Not only does this word mean going in circles, it means to turn something around. You see, Midian probably felt to Moses like a dead end. You know what? Maybe today you feel like you've hit a dead end. The howling wilderness of waste feels like a dead end. You know, maybe you have hit a dead end professionally. That's what it's going to take for you to get out and step out in faith in that new business venture. If not, you're going to keep going around in that wilderness of waste. Maybe you've hit a dead end financially. Maybe you've hit a dead end relationally. Maybe you've hit a dead end spiritually. You see, I've discovered that there are worse places to be in than dead ends. You see, you could be at the beginning of a journey on your way to a dead end. Dead ends are good news because it means God can now turn you around. Instead of going away from his will, God can get you to turn around in his will. You see, often we think that we failed too much for God to use us. No way. Look at Moses. Look at everybody in the Bible. You see, often we think that we failed too much, but often the problem isn't that we failed too much for God to use. Often we haven't failed enough for God to use. Because we're still relying on our strength, our power, our thoughts, which are not his thoughts. Often we falsely assume that if God really cared for us, he would never let us go into the wilderness. But friends, that is a lie from the enemy. You see, God lets Moses go into the wilderness, not to hurt him, but to save him. Not to leave him, but to teach him. Friends, listen to me right now. Just because it hurts doesn't mean it isn't healing. Friends, just because it hurts doesn't mean it isn't helping. You see, often our most painful moments in life are producing some of the greatest good for our souls. As you follow this story, it's pretty awesome that God is getting Moses ready for a turnaround. I believe that God is getting someone here ready for a turnaround, which leads us to our second point. Our second point, God uses the howling wilderness of waste to teach us. I love what the evangelist Dwight L. Moody said about Moses. Notice, he says, Moses spent his first 40 years thinking he was somebody. He spent his second 40 years learning he was a nobody. And he spent his third 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. You see, often it isn't that we fail too much, it's that we haven't failed enough to finally surrender to God. You see, according to Numbers 12:3, check this out, the same guy who murdered an Egyptian, notice, Exodus 2:12, he looked this way and that, seeing no one, and struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The same guy who did that, Numbers 12:3 says, the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who are on the face of the earth. Now, it is kind of interesting that Moses is the one who wrote Numbers, right? I don't know if that's so meek, Moses. Moses was the most meek man who ever lived. It's like John, who was the only one who said that he was the one Jesus loved the most. But you know what? Really, we know the Holy Spirit's the one who wrote the Bible, not these people. And so God put it on his heart. You see, the caliber of meekness that Moses had to be the most meek, to go from a murderer to the most meek, that doesn't happen overnight, friends. That takes a whole lot of lessons in Wilderness 101. You see, from our perspective, Moses was perfectly positioned to free Israel when he's a powerful prince of privilege in Egypt. I mean, hey, he's got the connections. He's already in Egypt. Why not just free his people? But friends, this is the key. God does not need your power. God does not need Moses' privilege. God does not need Moses' opinions. God didn't need Moses' power. He needed his faith. God didn't need Moses' wisdom. He needed Moses' trust. Because when he takes matters into his own hands, when Moses does what Moses thinks is best, this is what he does. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and he hid him in the sand. Friends, when we sin, it's like trying to hide our sin in the sand. The sand is not a good place to hide sin. It always comes out. Our sins always find us out. Our best plans often lead to some of our worst places. Our best plans often lead to our worst places. I find it interesting that we love to take credit for when things go right, but God is the first one we blame when things go wrong. God, how could you? How could you cause this to happen? You know, we love taking credit for when things go right and then blame God when things go wrong. But Moses is in the wilderness ultimately because of Moses. This is what happens. The wilderness is what happens when you try to force an exodus before it's time for an exodus. You see, this is what happens when your position is higher than your character. You end up trying to force something that you cannot make happen. You see, this is what happens when we rely on willpower, when we rely on our strength to free ourselves or to free someone else. You see, friends, God's promises are only possible through His power. If you want God's promises, then you need God's power. Our exodus can only happen through total dependence on God. And that's why very often, before we get to the promised land, God's got to take us through the wasteland. We've got to go through Wilderness 101. Because you see, there's nothing like the wilderness to grab our attention. There's nothing like the wilderness to get us into this book. There's nothing like the wilderness to help us realize we don't know nothing. There's nothing like the wilderness to remind us, I can't do it, but God can do it. And so I'm going to let God do it in my life. Moses is in the wilderness for 40 years. That wilderness is getting Moses ready for the 40 years that God's going to use him to free Israel. You see, before God can use Moses to free Israel, God must first free Moses. Because you see, God can't give you something that you cannot give something that you do not have. You cannot lead somewhere where you have never been. You can't. You know, I went to an NA meeting once while I was on vacation, earlier in recovery. I went to an NA meeting while I was on vacation because, you know what? Addiction doesn't go on vacation. Do you know that? I hope you know, I call everybody else normal people, and it's kind of funny because nobody's normal, right? But even for you normal people, sin never takes a vacation. The devil never takes a vacation. So I knew what I needed, man. If I used every day, I needed recovery every day. If I was going to be in the wilderness every day, I needed to drink from the fountain of life every day. So I went to this meeting. I was on vacation, and the chairperson, he opened the meeting, and he made the topic the first step. The first step is we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction and that our lives had become unmanageable. So the first step is often the topic of a meeting when there are newcomers at the meeting, because this is where every journey has to begin, at the first step. And the principle of the first step is honesty. Friends, God cannot do anything with you until you get honest about your situation. And so it has to begin there. We admitted to ourselves that we were powerless over our addiction. It's got to begin there, admitting that our way doesn't work, but God's way does. Admitting that when we do our best, we strike people down. But when God does His best, He makes water stand up on its tiptoes. Since I was a guest, I planned on just listening, which, by the way, was huge proof of spiritual growth in my life. Because you see, I was one of those people who was always the smartest person in the room. You know anyone like that? So I was one of those, but life humbled you. Life has a way of humbling you. And so very quickly, I wanted to go in, I wanted to listen. But very quickly after the meeting had started, I noticed something. Whenever someone shared something they were going through, this person, I'll call him John, this person, John, would quickly speak up and throw his two cents in as to what that person should be doing in their life. You see, he kept giving people advice, which you learn early on is a no-no in recovery. And they'll tell you, look, don't give advice. Advice will get you or someone else killed. Instead, share something you know about. Share your experience, your strength, and your hope. But I was surprised no one stopped John. Maybe this was because the chairperson was new. Maybe this meeting was new. You know, meetings are like churches. They're like jobs. They're like restaurants. They're like mechanics. There are great ones, there are good ones, and there are lousy ones. But whatever it was, he just kept giving advice. And you know what? The Moses, the young Moses was in me. I just had to speak up. And as nicely as I could, I said, John, how long have you been in recovery? How long have you been clean? To which John replied, 15 days. And that's when I, as kindly and as gently, but as honestly as I could, I simply asked, so what makes you such an authority on recovery? And then I told him something a lot of people told me. I've told you, take the cotton out of your ears, put it in your mouth, and start listening for a change, and you might just learn something. Friends, when we think we know everything, we can't learn anything. Before God can use us for somebody else's exodus, like Moses, God's got to give us our own exodus. The exodus has to begin with you. We love looking at other people in the church because it makes us feel better about our slavery. But friends, God has got to rescue you from yourself. Before you can worry about anyone else's exodus, God's got to give you an exodus. He's teaching you. You see, this word, cared for him, it means disciplined. It means discipline. Check this out, Hebrews. For the Lord, this is a hard one for us to handle. The Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. That what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are an illegitimate child and not children of God. You see, friends, when God disciplines you, it's proof that he loves you. Because the cruelest thing that any parent can do is to not discipline their children. You are setting your kids up for failure. You see, when we get in the way of someone else's wilderness 101, we're getting in the way of what lesson God is wanting to teach them. You see, the desert has this way of stripping away our masks. The desert peels off all the pretending and pretentiousness. The wilderness shreds the charades to pieces. We discover stuff in the desert we would never discover in prosperity. We learn things like patience. We learn things like tolerance. We learn stuff like putting up with painful places and painful people. You learn to accept things as they are instead of how you think they should be. You see, friends, it is in the howling wilderness of waste that God gets us to drop our crutches so that we can start running, not limping, but running in his purpose for our lives. You see, it isn't until you're in the wilderness, you're content in the wilderness with nothing, that you learn that with God, we can make it through anything. Check this out. God's power is made perfect in weakness. Friends, think of all the lessons Moses learned in his wilderness. He learned how to be alone and content. He learned, you see, some of us can't be alone for more than 2 seconds. You got to learn to be content with just you and God. You got to learn to be content in your own skin. Moses learned what it was like to lead sheep that do not listen. In the wilderness, Moses learned how to depend on God with everything. Moses found out that it is better to be in the desert with God than in a palace without God. Midian was a barren place, friends. The desert had to become Moses' home, but check it out. I found out that this word for desert in Deuteronomy means several things. He found him in the desert land. This word not only means arid, empty land with no vegetation, it can also be used for a pasture fit for feeding. You see, when you find yourself in the howling wilderness of waste, you have a choice. You can give up. You can get on your pity pot. You can get bitter and barren and desolate desert, or you can learn to trust in God and let him feed you in your wilderness and teach you and turn you into a person of promise. You see, we serve a God who can turn a desert place into a feeding place. God can turn a dry rock into a water fountain. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law. The Hebrew word for keeping here is stressing repetition. So what it's actually saying is that Moses was watching and watching and watching his sheep. He was watching. It's repetitive. Everything's the same. It's day in, day out. It's tedious. It's menial. It's repetitive. I mean, it seems like such a waste for a prince of Egypt, but God is using it to get Moses ready for an exodus. Your wilderness is not being wasted. It is getting you ready for eternity. What you thought was a waste was rescuing you. What you thought was killing you was saving you. God, hallelujah, is preparing us for an exodus. It says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, and bearing them on its pinions. Friends, as an eagle stirs up its nest in order to encourage its children to fly, it isn't to hurt them. Friends, it's in the wilderness that God is teaching you how to fly in His purpose. It's there that He's teaching you to rise above the ridiculous fray. God cares. God is teaching you. Last point, you got to know your worth. Deuteronomy 32:10 says, He kept him as the apple of His eye. If Moses is going to make it, friends, he's got to know that he's worth everything to God. If you're going to make it through your wilderness, you need to know your worth to God. Because in the wilderness, the enemy is constantly howling. He's constantly telling you you're worthless. He's constantly telling you that you've messed up beyond recovery. He's constantly telling you God has forgotten you, God has forsaken you. But friends, you need to know right now, that is a lie. You see, Deuteronomy says you are the apple of God's eye. Now, that is such a powerful statement because this phrase means you are precious. You see, the apple of an eye is the dearest, most, it's the pupil. It is the dearest, it is the most vulnerable, it is the most guarded, treasured thing to God. When God sees, He sees you and your salvation. You are the apple of God's eye. It's only when we realize that we are the apple of God's eye that we're able to make it through anything. Because when you realize that you're worth everything to Him, when you know you're treasured in heaven, you can make it even through hell on earth. You've got to know what your value is. Zechariah 2:8 tells us, check this out, for thus said the Lord of hosts, after His glory sent me to the nations who plundered you, for he who touches you touches the apple of His eye. Friends, God takes your pain and your problems very personal. Not only does He take it personal, but friends, we have a God who came down and dealt with your problems personally. Exodus 3:1. Moses led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Moses was in the shadow of Sinai, the place where God would soon come to meet His people. But friends, before Moses can lead Israel to a mountaintop experience, Moses needs a mountaintop experience. You see, he's got to encounter God at a tree in the mountain. Because it is there that Moses discovers his value to God. Friends, you need to understand right now that it is on a mountain, on a tree, that we see what we're worth to God too. Friends, when heaven gave Jesus, it gave everything it had to give. God came down from heaven and was crucified because we couldn't climb up to Him. Jesus stepped into the howling wilderness of waste for 40 days, and He was tempted, and He was hungry, and He was hurting, and He was rejected, and He was eventually killed, so that you may know right now your value to Him. You are precious to God. You are the apple of His eye. Friends, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That is your value to God. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. God became a curse because you are the prize. You are the apple of his eye. That is your worth. And friends, because Christ came out of our ultimate wilderness victoriously, you're coming out of your wilderness victoriously too. Friends, God cares. God is teaching you. You are worth so much to God. Cling to Christ. You're coming through this wilderness. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the awesome God that you are. Lord, there are people who are going through a howling wilderness of waste right now. I pray you make them, you mold them. Lord, I pray that right now in their wilderness, whatever's happening, they'll know that you care. That it's because of your love for us that you let us go into the wilderness. Lord, help us to realize and take advantage of this wilderness experience. We're going to be here for a while, maybe. Help us to learn and to be taught what you're teaching so we can stop going in circles. And last, but by no means least, Lord, help us to see what we're worth to heaven. Because when we realize what we're worth to heaven, we can go through everything. When the world condemns us, we're okay because you are vindicating us. When the world persecutes us, we're okay because Christ is going to be rescuing us. Lord, help us to see the value in a tree up on the mountain. Lord, I believe that you're about to give us an exodus. May we be set free today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.